For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. How could it get any better? Mike Lubitsch, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition. All throughout the streaming world, Jeff DeForest. Mike Luby Lubitsch with you. What a glorious day. I've said this for a long time. I've imparted this philosophy to my son. I've also related to my grandchildren, 8 and 5 years old as we speak, about to go 9 and 6 as we turn the corner into the month of April. And that is a simple philosophy, a simple approach to life that you should spend at least in a portion of every day. You should spend at least 30 seconds to a minute thinking about a way to beat the system. Never mind looking up at the skies and praying to God. Never mind sitting in some kind of lotus position, chanting Nam Yoho Renge Kyo. How'd that work out for Tina Turner? Not so great, huh? But nonetheless, if you could figure out a way to beat the system every day, or at least spend some time addressing it, there's a good chance that by the time you check out, by the time they zip up that body bag and throw you in a coffin, you might have actually found it. You might have struck gold. You might have hit the lottery. You might have hit the Powerball last night. Although I don't believe I hit it because I think the word was that nobody had it. Some guy in New Jersey takes down $1.13 billion, only gets $575,000. Right around the corner from our friend Big Rich was the store where the ticket was bought. Can you imagine? He was probably thinking about going there at that moment. I don't know if it was a quick pick because do you choose your own numbers when you do this stuff, Luby? You don't engage in Powerball and Mega Millions too often.
When we've done it, I think we just let them pick the numbers. I don't know if we've done the thing where you pick. Yeah, I don't know if we've ever picked our own numbers. I think we just have them pick numbers.
It's a noble pursuit, though, trying to figure out a way to beat
the try.
I spent my entire junior year, I told you this story many times, my junior year at Syracuse University, spent my entire junior year trying to figure out a way to decode the fix at Vernon Downs, which was a horseshit harness track just outside of Syracuse. It was about 30 miles away. You had to go over rolling hills. It was like driving through a Robert Louis Stevenson poem, rolling hills, snow coming in your face. And you're thinking, where am I going? I'm in the wilderness here. And then all of a sudden, there it was, a bastion to degeneracy, a monument to degeneracy, Vernon Downs, where they ran, literally, they had horses that they had to unhitch from a plow and put the sulky on them. And then they would run around. And usually, it was called a Miracle Mile, this track, because they had a shoot, and they only went around once. And this was at a time when almost all harness tracks, I think it predated the Meadowlands, almost all harness tracks were either a half a mile or 5/8 of a mile. So they called this place the Miracle Mile. And we always thought that the reason that they named it the Miracle Mile was it was a miracle that any of these horses could actually run a mile. We didn't think it was possible. So we thought we had figured out the code to the fix. It involved the Syracuse Herald Journal and a sports writer named Bud Vanderveer. And we were tracking this for a long, long time, and we found a pattern that when Vanderveer picked some horse, and they put the harness picks, believe it or not, how different was the world? They put the harness picks in the very heralded Syracuse Herald Journal. They put the harness picks above the masthead as if it was the most important thing that happened, like news flash, World War II ends, and here are Bud Vanderveer's harness racing picks from this dump of a track, Vernon Downs. So we thought we detected a pattern there where every time Vanderveer picked some horse that was absolutely impossible to use in your handicapping, no matter how bizarre, no matter how far-fetched your theories were, whenever he picked one of those horses for third, that horse would routinely win. And we also thought that we had sniffed out the bookie joint where all of these selections were circulating. It was a tobacco store on Marshall Street, which was the main street there. I don't know. What was the main thing where all the stores were, the people gathered at FSU? Was there a main drag where everybody went? And this was where the...
Tennessee Street's where the college kids went, and there would be bars and stuff. Tennessee Street.
Okay, this was Marshall Street, Syracuse. I would imagine it's still, the place where all of the activity is that is outside of the university, but it's right near the campus. And at the time, nobody smoked pipes. Nobody smoked cigars. Mm. So we're wondering, why the hell does anybody have a cigar shop, a tobacco shop here on Marshall Street, when nobody, not even the professors, were using pipes at that time? And we figured it had to be some kind of a front for a bookmaking operation. So we started hanging out there. And we thought we had also picked up that this pattern was correct, that when Vanderveer picked an impossible horse for third above the masthead of the Syracuse Herald Journal, that was a go. That was a green light. So we see a horse that had never been on stride at any juncture in any race. Harness horses, they start flopping in the air. They're off stride. They have to pull them to the outside, take them to the back of the pack. Impossible to win, usually, once you break stride. And if you're constantly breaking stride, it's amazing that they would even license this horse or acknowledge that this horse was capable of running. As I said, this was the bottom level of harness racing. I mean, you can't get any lower in the totem pole. One step lower, and it was a dog race. So sure enough, we go out there, we find this horse, Wee Hauler, who had never been on stride at the juncture of any race that he had been in on the 10 races that were posted in his past performances. Vanderveer's got him for third. We go out to the track. He's 80-1. He jogs. He's last all the way around, never breaks stride in this race, last all the way around, pulls out, passes them all in the stretch of the Miracle Mile there at Vernon Downs. And we go home with about six dimes in 1972, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Go back to the campus with $6,000, me and my buddy. We had more money than the drug dealers. We had more money than Harry Mangorian Jr., whose father owned the Boston Celtics at the time.
No, 6,000.
Couldn't have been any bigger kingpins. And we thought, wow, we had beaten the system. Now, it turned out later on, we found out that Vanderveer had nothing to do with this. And then he just was a lousy handicapper.
Oh,
that
was it.
But we thought we had beaten the system, and we couldn't have been any more euphoric, any more overjoyed, and it was very profitable for us. And none of these theories and none of these attempts ever worked out since. So here we sit today trying to figure out a way once again to beat the system. But the reason I bring this up is because it seems like everybody's trying to do that, and the way they're doing it is through gambling, Luby.
Yeah.
Through gambling. The colleges are now, I mean, absolutely apoplectic about what to do about these prop bets. And you have the colleges now, whoever is running the organization, I don't know if it's the NCAA, but it's some collective of colleges, and they're appealing to all states to eliminate prop betting on college sports. They want to take that out of the equation. Now, we were talking yesterday about this Jontay Porter.
Yeah, the Raptors.
Who's with the Toronto Raptors, and he took himself out of a couple of games, and there was strange and suspicious, overwhelming betting action on a couple of unders on prop bets that involved Porter, whether or not he would get 1.5 assists in a game, 2 rebounds in a game. So he solves that problem by just saying, hey, Nurse, not Nick Nurse. He's now, unfortunately Sixers. For Nick Nurse, he is taking a beating with the Philadelphia 76ers without Joel Embiid in the lineup. And that's another one. I mean, you always thought that you could influence officials. But how easy is it to influence some kid that's making no name, image, and likeness money while some of his teammates are walking around with $1.5 million in the bank? And you tell this kid, hey listen, man, all you need to do is not grab 5 rebounds in this game.
I mean,
it's
actually smart from the college perspective, because it feels like that would actually wrangle a lot of it in. The throwing of the games thing, to me, it's hard these days, especially with kids
unless
finally
you're going
getting
to
paid. Exactly. Yeah. The throwing the game thing, it's feasible, but I think it's harder than in years past. But you can throw the props. So to put a cap or stop the props would make sense. The problem is these gambling entities, that's where they're making their money, is these fucking stupid-ass props that all these college kids or 30-somethings or teenagers, I know teenagers get it, they love it. Like,
they love it.
They're fucking greedy. And that's literally why the gambling has exploded nationwide, is those props. I don't know if you could convince them to. I don't know what you would have to do, what you'd have to give them so they'd be willing to eliminate it. Like, we know how greedy the gambling entities are.
Some states
are,
have already resolved it and said, hey, we're not going to offer props on college basketball.
Really?
Or, I guess, college sports.
Oh, good for
some
them.
States have already eliminated that from their betting menu, if you will.
Interesting.
So you have that working. You got the Temple thing going on in college basketball. You have Ohtani. I mean, gambling everybody thought, well, geez, you know, it's going to bring about. It was the old thing. And I've told this story many times about my encounter there with Bob Graham. We're flying. He happened to be sitting next to me, the former governor of Florida and the former senator from Florida, Bob Graham, very distinguished gentleman. He was a Democrat, so you didn't think necessarily that, you know, he was overwhelmingly biased into things that came out of the Stone Age in terms of philosophies. And we're flying over the Hard Rock. He was sitting next to me on a plane. And I said, hey, don't you think that's a good thing? We finally got casinos here in Florida. He says, nope, I really don't agree with that. Here's a liberal-minded guy and a very fair-minded individual. And he immediately whips out the old line, the old, you know, ridiculous adage that, well, you know what it does? Gambling brings about crime and prostitution.
Yeah, not true.
Fuck no, it doesn't. Look how many people are employed at the Hard Rock Hotel and employed in ancillary fashions. Look how many people are making money off the fact that this has become a gambling emporium, that this has become a mecca for degeneracy, South Florida, which it always was. We were the scam capital of the world, yep. And now we're among the gambling capitals of the world. And who wouldn't want to come to Florida to do your gambling, Louis? Exactly. Would you rather be in Las Vegas, schwitzing in the middle of the desert? Or would you rather be here, maybe going to the beach in the morning and then going out to the racetrack in the afternoon and punching away at a casino at night? The people absolutely love it. But while gambling doesn't bring about any of that, it does bring about people who are trying to figure out a way to beat the system. And it seems like they have an incredible and just evolving, exponentially evolving problem on their hands, trying to figure out how to keep it all on the level. So we'll see how that develops. But the college is now in a panic, thinking that they need to eliminate prop betting on their sport. It's weird, too. You know, you'll see people posting tickets on social media that they either won or lost by getting beat on one element of the prop parlay. And you're thinking, you really bet money that Bismack Biyombo would have less than 4 rebounds in a game? You gotta be kidding me.
Seems like such a weird thing to track.
Who the hell is tracking that?
Yeah, it just seems like a weird thing to have to track. Look, you probably cover it a lot of the time because they do make the numbers really weird, but it's like you have to remember that. And you have to track it. Like, I don't want to have to
I mean, it's one thing to get beat by bad officiating, which a lot of people did last night in that game between the 76ers and the Los Angeles Clippers. I don't know. Did you see the end of that ball game? Lumi, the officials even admitted that they blew it. How could they not admit that they blew it? They were looking right at it, all three of them. As a 76er with seconds to go in a game goes to the basket, gets hammered. I mean, just absolutely throttled. It looked like he got strangled. You thought Draymond Green had Rudy Gobert in his grips. You weren't sure if you were watching basketball or the WWE.
Yeah.
And some guy came flying off the top rope to put the Macho Man Randy Savage in a flying head scissors. And no call. Nick Nurse was apoplectic. If you saw Nick Nurse, he looked like Nick Nolte in that buckshot when he got busted for the DUI. I mean, just a completely disheveled mess, only to have the officials later admit that they absolutely choked. But how many times can you justify that? Well, we see it all the time now, right, where the last two-minute report indicates that the officials completely blew the game, gave it to the wrong team, accorded them so many favorable calls that it was impossible for the outcome to come about. And this deprived the Sixers of going to the line in a one-point loss for two shots at the end of the ballgame. So you have to figure, even if the guy shoots 50% from the free throw line, even if you dug up Wilt from the grave, he's probably going to make one out of two and take it to overtime.
Yes.
And in all likelihood, makes them both. And the Sixers get a key win. They're in a tight battle, too, to see what position they're going to be in. Because they've been and not exactly, you know, overwhelming without Embiid in the lineup, somehow they've managed to hang in there and still be in a playoff spot. I think they're eighth in the Eastern Conference. So a crucial game decided by a god-awful call. We see it all the time. They have the capability of going to replay. I don't know what the restrictions were on this, but it would have been very easy to go over to sidelines, look at this, and see this guy get elbowed in the face, and no call whatsoever. So integrity of the game is going to be a huge issue. And always has been, but I don't know that it's ever been more in peril, Luby, than it is right now with the influence of gambling. And, you know, strange bedfellows, Luby. Sports world forever. Oh, no, we don't have nothing to do with that. We don't acknowledge point spreads. Now you have coaches in their pregame press conference saying, you know what, we got to cover 4.5 here, so we're going to play our starters all the way into the final minutes. It's only a matter of time, too. We've talked about this on other shows before. They actually have the coaches analyzing the game from a gambling standpoint. Where the questions on the sidelines are no longer innocuous. Hey, coach, what are you going to do different in the second half? going to be more along the lines of, hey, coach, do you realize the over-under in this game is 214? Are you aware that many people have a lot of money riding on the outcome of this ball game? And the coach turns around and says, well, you know, we're going to pick up the pace here a little bit in the second half. We really want to have our players that, you know, play the over. I want to make sure we take care of them. So we're going to be running up and down the court. You're never going to see a pace like this in your lifetime. It's going to look like Loyola Marymount back in the day. But, yeah, very, very big problem facing the sporting world. Now, it's also, it's a glorious day, Luby. It doesn't mean much here in Miami where we originate with the morning briefing. But it is opening day all around Major League Baseball. Quasi-opening day. Is it deflated by the fact that the Dodgers and the Padres already played a couple of games, or do we care about that? Doesn't, seem to, you know, diminish the excitement that most people have in most cities about baseball opening up. We don't care about it here. This is the town without pity, Miami. It's the old Gene Pitney thing. What the town without pity won't do. We don't give a flying fuck about Major League Baseball here in South Florida. And I would imagine if you had a prop bet on the over-under Marlins opening day attendance against the Pittsburgh Pirates, not exactly an exciting draw.
Yeah.
So what do you think? They have a stadium that they built at great expense to the city. We'll be swimming in a sea of red ink forever. I mean, they'll never get out of debt here in Miami with the bogus deal that they made to build this facility for a team that wasn't drawing flies and probably would have been better served by moving to another city where they actually cared about baseball. But I'm thinking, do they draw 25,000 for opening day?
They usually nearly get a sellout. It's just there's no buzz around them, and they're playing the Pirates. I guess they'll get 30-something thousand. I don't know. They usually, it's opening day. There's deals. They have this food deal now. Parents take kids out. I don't know. It's spring break in South Florida, so that can help parents take the kids somewhere.
I don't know
that
spring breakers are going to...
No, but parents taking their little ones. Not college or high school kids, but like literally elementary, middle, and high school's out. So like a lot of times... What can you do for 3-4 hours? And it's cheap now. I mean, the tickets are actually pretty reasonable. So maybe they paper the house with a bunch of kids.
They're going to have to paper the house to get 30,000. I believe that. And the big key, if you want to see an indicator of where baseball's at in South Florida, well, we already know that Tampa Bay can't draw flies, even though they always contend for a championship and win 95 games every fucking year. Miami, it's not the case at all. Check tomorrow's attendance. That'll be the indicator of where we're at.
Tomorrow will be nothing.
We're going to give you the lock of the century. It was at 79. I think it's dropped to 78. We're already seeing indicators of the approach that we said and recommended that you send it in. Everything that you have, every dime that you can get together, borrow money off your friends, sell everything that you own, and bet the under on the Marlins on 78 victories for the season.
I don't see them winning more than
75. They traded a key utility guy yesterday, John Birdie, to the Yankees. Yankees are thrilled. Birdie's already gotten more headlines in New York than he got in his entire tenure while he was here, even though he flirted with hitting 300 last year. And was one of the more consistent players on a very inconsistent squad that did go to the postseason. Yep. And Birdie was a huge catalyst there. He steals bases. He does a lot of things. He plays a lot of different positions. And right before the season, guess what we get back for Birdie?
Prospects.
Yeah. This is a throwaway season. They've almost...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can't win this year with prospects. We know that.
No, they've admitted
so,
it.
So look for that. We gave you a winner yesterday on one of our shows. I told you that that back-to-back thing with the Boston Bruins where they played the Panthers in a hockey bloodbath. They go on the road last night and take on the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are red hot, Luby, if you want to do some handicapping. And you're only laying 115 to win 100 on the Tampa Bay Lightning. With Kucherov is just scoring at a rate that makes you think he's a young Ovechkin. It was pretty incredible, the run that they were on. And here are the Bruins coming off a night in South Florida, which I would imagine they boarded a plane right after. But they probably were pretty beat up even going into that game. Game itself was hotly contested and very physical. They pulled it out in the end. The odds of them winning in back-to-back games on the road against the two Florida teams that are both very good this year, I thought were Blutarski-esque, 0.0. And sure enough, it was a little tougher than I thought it was going to be, but ended up getting a 3-1 victory. These are the things. Every now and then, Luby, you get a moment of clairvoyance. Do you really need to know that somebody is shaving proposition bets? All you have to do is just look at the facts. It's the old Jack Webb thing from Dragnet. Just give me the facts, baby. The facts were that the deck was stacked against the Boston Bruins last night. You could have made some money there if you had gone ahead and followed our advice. But, I mean, if you're looking at us, I suppose that that's a bit of an oxymoron, Louis. Imagine people are tuning into us on the morning briefing looking for advice on hockey bets.
If you want to talk about
this bets, one seemed pretty obvious, though. Didn't in any sport would you not have thought that the Bruins were going to be badly compromised by the fact they played the night before in another city in Florida and played in an extremely physical and hotly contested game?
Yeah, you played a tough game, then you have to go the next night and play a team that is almost as good. I mean, and the Lightning are physical. They can score. They've won championships. They've been a contender. Yes, it was a very tough back-to-back. If you're talking about bets, though, our Buddy the Professor, who has been on here with us before, has two plays for tonight. It is Sweet 16 tips off tonight, the first half of the Sweet 16.
Oh, beautiful.
Professor loves UNC, even though he actually hates UNC. So this is how you know this is a good bet. When he goes for a team he can't stand just because he's a gambler. So you go where the money is. UNC laying 4.5 over Alabama. And fuck Nate Oates in Alabama. UNC laying 4.5 over Alabama. And Illinois getting 1.5 over Iowa State. Those are his plays for tonight.
It's an interesting battle, Iowa State, Illinois.
It should be a really good fucking game.
You have the best defensive team, or among the best defensive teams in Iowa State, going against Illinois, one of the better offensive teams.
Yeah, the Shannon kids.
So
really
take the points with Illinois and figure that they're going to score a lot of points in this game in spite of the tenacious defensive presence of Iowa State. A lot of people like Iowa State.
They're good. They're legit.
In the tournament in general, a lot of people do. So the action, and it's all tonight. You don't have to worry about gargling with Visine tonight. All of the action is tonight. The games are a little bit staggered, so you might be able to catch pieces of both. I don't know. Do you zero in on one game or flip back and forth?
I do. When there's two games on the same time, what's cool is they keep the scores up top so you can see how close it is.
Very good. All right. So he's got North Carolina. What was his other pick? North Carolina
and
over
Illinois. Illinois getting points. Illinois, North Carolina laying points.
North Carolina and Illinois. That's the professor, a very astute college basketball handicapper. So we wanted to pass that along to you as well. Very exciting day, Luby. What more could you ask for? There's other stuff happening as we speak. But between the resumption of the Sweet 16 and the NCAA men's tournament, opening day in Major League Baseball, where all teams were originally scheduled to play, I believe two games have been canceled due to potential inclement weather.
Oh, yeah.
The New York Mets
gross here. Yeah, it already looks gross here. So I presume the whole East Coast is probably a freaking disaster.
Yankees on the road against the Houston Astros. They don't have Gerrit Cole to start on opening day. What do you think about that, Luby? Yankees on the road against the Houston Astros. The New York papers and tabloids are all excited about the Yankee season. They even think the Mets have reason to believe that they might. I mean, they're going Tug McGraw. You got to believe that, that they might be at least better than they were last year. I'm not sure what's going to happen with them. But a lot of excitement around the country. 0.0 excitement here. As you would not know that this was even happening if you were following the sentiment of the public and also the media. You would have no idea that this was opening day in Major League Baseball, which used to be a great day for me when I was selling souvenirs at Shea. I loved opening day, except for the fact that it was fucking freezing all the time. You had that wind coming off the bay there at Shea Stadium, now Citi Field. I guess it's not as prominent because they designed it a little bit differently. You didn't have that open end there where the wind was just blowing in your face. And I used to love that. I loved frozen tundra games on the opening day in Major League Baseball, where you're outside in Minneapolis and it's 12 degrees, always a great thing. When I was on the freshman Q squad there and used to start a game out, first thing that used to do when it was 9 degrees outside and we were playing baseball outside in April, Syracuse, New York, right there in the heart of the snow belt, first thing you do is plunk a guy right in the ribs. Leadoff hitter was going to be on base each and every time, in spite of the protestations of the coach. Hey, don't hit this guy, DeForest. Don't hit this guy. And I'm thinking, I want to send a warning. I'm going to serve up a player here and just plunk this guy right in the ribcage. And he's going to be in so much pain that nobody's going to want to come to the plate. The next six hitters were standing outside the batter's box. And they may as well have put those plate extenders that they used to have for Maddox and Glavine in there, because you were going to get every call because the guy was nowhere near home plate. It's very prohibitive to play baseball in this kind of weather. Yeah, you ever catch a ball in the wrong spot there in the glove in freezing cold weather, Luby? Where it hits you right in the hub of your hand.
Yes.
And you want to chop your hand off before you show the people that you actually caught the ball. But should be a very exciting day all the way around. Hope you guys have some luck with your bets on basketball. We're giving out, what, North Carolina and Illinois tonight? Courtesy of the professor. We gave you a winning hockey game yesterday here on the show. And the next thing you know, we're going to be betting 20 prop parlays on college basketball if we can find the one state that will allow that to happen sometime down the road in the future. Hey, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Have a very exciting day. It's a great day to be a sports fan. For Mike Luby Lubitz, I'm Jeff DeForest. Thanks for tuning in to today's edition.
These days, we're all looking for comfort anywhere we can find it. Thank goodness for Landlubbers, Raw Bar and Grill in Plantation, because they are making sure you are as comfortable as possible. First of all, they're not only open for delivery and pickup. All you have to do is go to landlubbersbarandgrill.com for both pickup and free delivery. You're going to have the best wings in the world. You're going to have a great burger. You're going to have their amazing soups. Again, Landlubbers, Raw Bar and Grill. It's nice and easy. Just go to landlubbersbarandgrill.com for both your pickup and free delivery. Thank goodness for Landlubbers for making you always feel right at home.
Hey, folks, Tony Segretto here. Let me ask you a question. What do you look for when you go out to eat? Good food, obviously, friendly atmosphere, not too loud, but good energy, reasonable prices, and a place where you feel comfortable. All those ingredients, no pun meant there, are hard to find unless you're talking about the Texas Roadhouse. You see, they encompass all of those attributes. Really, really good food, amazing atmosphere, good for a family, good for a date, or just a night out for yourself, and prices that will make you extremely happy. Their ribs unmatched, steaks hand-cut every day. Everything, and I mean everything, is made on site, including their incredible bread. It's the one day, folks, that you can forget about low-carb diets. Trust me when I tell you, Texas Roadhouse, your restaurant, your destination when you say, where should we go and eat tonight?
From the newly renovated sports bar to the beautiful Bayside views captured at the Tiki Bar, Jimmy Johnson's Big Chill has it all. Located at mile marker 104, the Big Chill also offers waterfront dining while experiencing breathtaking sunset views of the Florida Keys. It's simply the hottest spot in the Keys to cool off. That's Jimmy Johnson's Big Chill at mile marker 104 in Key Largo. For more information, call today at 305-453-9066.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.